El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Turn that off, bud. We're not. It's time for Ted.
Oh, sorry.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And going down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, a lot of things happening with this National Football League season. You are never far away from a game when you're in our prime rib room. Watch the NFL, get yourself a drink, and come on in for our prime rib, of course, that's Sunday. And we're very happy to be on the show tonight, Phil.
Thank you, Ted, for being with us. And it's a Ted Bell segment here, folks, brought to you by Ted Bell. And welcome to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're kicking things off tonight with you, Ted, because it is your sponsored segment. We also have some pretty interesting news made public today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Horses could soon be butchered in the U.S. for human consumption. After Congress quietly lifted a 5-year-old ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month.
And right there, Phil, the mentioning of activists, I think it's very unfortunate because for many people who are in the food business, food delivery business, in the grocery business, in the provisioning business. It's an option that you have, and you are able to open up a little bit more to the consumer, different options, especially at times when prices may be a little steep. So when you mentioned activists, a red flag went up.
And the red flag is what? Are they animal rights activists?
Well, they're animal rights activists, but again, what I find hypocritical is that we serve meat from steer, we serve meat from a bovine animal, and I haven't had any activists picketing my restaurant, and we're a steakhouse. I think people understand that. Now that I'm able to offer an option, and in some cases, it's an option that you're going to offer to people that'll be right there on the menu. In other instances, it is simply an option that they are going to be afforded. And then you have activists telling you can't do it. I tell you, you can't roll back. The Congress has lifted the ban. I don't know what their premise is going to be, the activists, on reinstating the ban.
Is there some thought that horses are like dogs and cats, that they are a domesticated creature that gives us, that they're more valuable to us as companions, as pets, as, I don't know, you know, that there's somehow...
Well, I'm as sentimental as the next guy, but if people are looking to increase their protein intake and they are looking to increase the quality, at least nutritionally, of their meals, and I have the ability to provide this for my customers.
All right, and I want to get into talking to you about this. You have a steakhouse that is in Beverly Hills, California, and you're going to put horse meat on the menu?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I was going to put it on the menu. What I'm telling you is that there is an option for me as a restaurateur to give to my customers as high a quality tasting product, and at the same time, I can save on the overhead. I can save on the wholesale end, so that we're not spending as much money.
So, I'll get to that question in a moment. Sounds to me like you're going to sell horse meat.
No, that's not what I'm not going to have on the menu. We sell horse meat. What I'm saying is, and please try that. I'm sure that there are a lot of consumers that understand that if they can have a product that is as quality tasting, shall we say, as steak, and they know that it is not costing me as much, that I think they're going to want to at least support my business to the extent that they will like the idea that I've got that. I'm not going to put it on the menu.
Well, what are you going to have on the menu if you have horse meat and you're selling it as a steak? What are you going to put on the menu?
Well, you, you can put on the menu that it is a steak. You can put on the menu it's a delicious steak. It's a 12-ounce steak. You can call it a Ted's. You can give it a charbroiled, or you can give it a fillet or something. You don't have to say what it is, and that's really not why I came on the program tonight. The reason why I came on the program tonight was to talk to you about these activists, so-called animal rights activists. I don't see them as animal rights activists at all. I think that they're these are people that probably own horses themselves and probably ride those horses and probably run those horses and probably use those horses in their amusement time almost to death. As the animal is dragging itself back to a stable, laden down with a saddle and God knows what else. And those people call themselves animal rights activists? I don't think so.
Well, you're talking about people that ride horses for a hobby.
Yes. These individuals, you've seen them, where they have they got a stable or what have you, and they go out and they ride the horse, and then and some of these individuals should not be on the back of an animal. They are... these animals are fragile creatures. I mean, they're strong animals, but you're not going to put a human being on the back of an animal, a human being that has no business sitting on a horse, any more than they, forgive me for trying to be funny, but any more than they have business wearing pants,
You're talking about people that are overweight. I understand what you're saying, and that there may be some abuse of horses in that respect, but we're talking here specifically about the serving of horse meat. Congress has lifted this ban, and there is now there is conversation that the USDA saying that the USDA is going to allow the butchering of horses for human consumption. So, again, you're going to sell horse meat.
What you do is you afford your customers the option of having a quality steak. You're not going to say, oh, we've got horse meat steak. That is not a commercially viable choice, in my opinion. But what you can say is you have a delicious steak, you can make it a part of the menu, and you provide it. And again, it costs me less from my wholesaler, so that when I retail it to my customer, I am saving that much more money.
Now, the money that the customer is saving on this steak, they're going to see that the price is lower.
Well, it's a difficult business. I didn't necessarily say, and nor do I think it's wise of me to lower the price, because if I do that, then the customer thinks that he's not getting a high quality cut of meat. So I'm going to keep my prices the same. All right.
So what you're saying, you're going to keep your prices the same, but you are...
I'm going to be saving money, yeah. But I also understand that, in my opinion, I think my customers are going to appreciate the fact that we do serve horse meat, or we serve this kind of a cuisine, and that they can avail themselves of that.
All right, can I interrupt you, Ted, for a moment here?
Go ahead.
If you are not identifying on the menu that you're selling horse meat, then how does your customer know?
I think what we do is we basically... come on programs like yours, Phil. I'm going to go on the Ken and Bob. What is it? Ken and John show
on a John and Ken.
John and Ken, and go on some of these programs, and we go on some of the LA talk shows and so forth, and nationally too, and let them know that we're very excited about the possibility that we can afford our customers the choice of a quality steak. It's good meat, Phil. It's good tasting. I think there's been a terrible slander against horse. Every time we say horse meat, you think of cat food or dog food.
Well, that's what I think of, and because of that, I would never want to eat.
Well, I'm advertising on your program, and because I'm advertising on your program, and I advertise on other programs, I would hope that the hosts who are on those shows are going to support Tens of Beverly Hills. And I would like you to come in at your choosing, Phil, and sit down and have lunch and have one of our Ted specials or what have you.
So that would be a horse meat steak.
Again, we're not calling it that. It is a Ted lunch special. It's a delicious 12-ounce steak. And that's all we have to call it. I don't have to say, come in and get a horse meat steak. what I'm telling you is I'm saving money because it's not as expensive. And
But what? Well, all right. I mean, I understand, but you're not passing that savings on to the consumer.
I cannot lower the price of the steaks because people will think that the quality suffers. And so
so you need to maintain the price of that steak, but you're going to be selling a Ted special steak or whatever you wind up calling it.
We do know we're going to have 8 ounce and 12 ounce. The largest will be a 12 ounce.
But this will essentially be horse steak.
You know, I don't want to call it that.
But isn't that what it is?
I don't want to call it that. I don't want to call it that. I know what you're saying, and I affirm the statements you're making, but I don't want to say that.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying, though. That's what it is.
Well, I'll just repeat what I said.
All right. Ted Bell with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. He is serving or will be serving or will be purchasing because the USDA has lifted a 5-year ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month. There could be horse meat consumption among many Americans, and Ted Bell is one of many restaurants, huh, Ted?
Well, there's a few back east. I know a great many. I know a chain restaurant that is going to be using some of these suppliers.
And the reason is that a horse meat steak is a delicious steak.
No question, Phil, and it's low in fat. It's delicious. The only problem that we would have, again, would be this some kind of a political statement on the part of some of these activists that don't want you to slaughter horses. But I don't understand. These are the same people. These horse meat inspectors, or excuse me, not activists, these horse meat, what do you call them? The horse or activist opponents of horse meat are people that own horses and ride horses and in many cases ride them to death. And I think that needs to be investigated. I think we need to investigate who these individuals are that own horses for their own pleasure and amusement, ride them until they are almost dead, until the hearts in the chests of these great proud animals almost explode, and then leave them standing all afternoon with saddles on them while, excuse me for saying this, the fat slob that was riding this animal goes inside for a Diet Coke.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about horse meat for human consumption? Do you think that Mr. Bell should have to identify the horse meat that's on his menu? Do you think he should pass the savings along to you on this horse meat? And for those of you who are animal rights or horse rights activists, do you own horses that you ride? I think you're being a little rough there, Ted.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I know some of these people.
All right, hold the line here. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome to Beverly Hills again, the National Football League. We're getting into those really interesting weeks ahead of the playoffs, and we've got all the games on. We got our DirecTV. We paid the bill. Come on in and have yourself a drink and have our slow roasted prime rib, Phil.
All Sunday, right?
All day Sunday, we have the slow roasted prime rib, and I'm gonna tell you right now, it is absolutely delicious. And
it's not made out of horse.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. I would rather that you not make those jokes, and I'll tell you why.
I apologize.
No, it's all right, but I'll tell you why. We're going to take advantage of this. We're going to deliver to our customers what we think is a high-quality steak. Is it as good as a regular steer or bovine product? Probably not. It's horse. But it's not costing me as much. And I want my customers to know that so that they can know that I'm not paying as much for the product. I mean, we're in the middle of a serious downturn. So if you're going to make jokes about the prime rib is beef. It's not a horse.
And no, I understand that. I just, you're right, it was a joke, and I apologize.
Because you're not going to, I don't want people not coming in because they think, oh, the prime rib, it's prime rib. That means it's off of the beef. If we are serving some kind of a horse stew or, I'm not going to come on a radio and say, come in and get a horse steak. I don't think it's good business.
But you are serving them.
Again, I don't want to say that we're serving horse. I'm simply...
But, all right, you know...
You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand that, but you're all right. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm what?
Well, I think it's an unspoken fact that that's what you're doing.
I don't want to go there. You know what I'm talking about. I know what you're talking about, and the audience knows what you're talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call, and we've got people hanging on. I want to talk to you, Ted, and we'll see what we can do about accommodating everybody. We have Sarah with us here. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very appalled at what I'm listening to. This gentleman who's on the line, he owns a restaurant?
Yes, ma'am. I own a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, California. It's called Ted's Beverly Hills. And the steak, we've been there since 1975.
Oh, okay. I would be appalled if I went anywhere and was not informed of what I was eating. I don't care if it's veal or if it's beef or whatever. Every animal that we eat has a name, and I guess I would surely expect that that should be on menu, whether you call it horse or they come up with some fancy name. It needs to be identified.
All right, let me ask the lady a question. When you order a steak at a restaurant, and you say, oh, look at this, a steak. I want to have a steak. You order the steak. Correct?
Yes.
All right. At no time do you ever ask the waiter, by the way, is this made out of cow? You have an expectation that you want a delicious product, something that is prepared properly, that tastes like a steak.
Yeah, but...
Well, hold on, Phil. Let me explain to the lady. And so, when I deliver that steak to your table, and you have an enjoyable evening with your husband or whoever you're with, and you have a glass of wine, and you just...
Tell me.
You want me to come out at the end of that meal? You want me to come out at the end of that meal and say, by the way, you just ate horse. Are you going to keep it down? Is it going to come out? You see what I'm saying?
It would probably come out. I guess I
don't know what you're laughing at.
I have some experience in the restaurant field, and I don't know what your menu looks like, but ours said when it was 100% beef.
Absolutely.
I mean, that needs to be
identified. Absolutely. Or does it say, or let me ask you this, did it say 100% beef, or did it say 100% choice steak? What did it say? And
well, now we're getting into an area where there's a little bit of, well, I don't want to call it fraud.
Well, watch that word. We don't defraud anybody, okay?
And well, if you are not serving, if the understanding is...
We don't tell anybody anything. All I'm trying to do here, and I'm sure that Stacy, or Sarah, rather, you're in the restaurant business, Sarah, you understand. I'm trying to do business, and you want me, you and Mr. Henry want me to come out and say, come on into Ted's and get a horse steak. It's not gonna work.
Obviously, yes, that's not going to work. But then it doesn't make
sense. Exactly.
What you're saying, either you don't want to say the wrong thing for fear of losing customers, but you want your customers to be very proud of you for saving money in these bad economic times.
Absolutely.
Even though you pass any of that on to them, they're going to be...
Well, no, wait a minute. Now, that's an interesting point. You're saying to me that if I did pass the savings on to them, they wouldn't care if they were eating cat. That's basically what you're saying.
No, she's not saying that at all.
Well, yes, you are. In a manner of speaking, you are, because you're saying, well, at least you can pass the savings on. That way, if they're eating dog food, if they're eating cat, they don't care.
No, she didn't say that at all.
I said I think it's absolutely strange to listen to you talking about how you think that your customers are going to be so happy that you're saving money. They're not, and they might end up eating something that they don't know what they're eating, but they should be happy because you're saving a dime.
Well, I think you're twisting it a little bit. I think you're spinning it away. Are you an animal rights activist? I have to ask you that because you're spinning it in a way that makes it sound like I'm serving cat. And
No. I'm listening.
I think what you're saying is you're saying, and you're not even going to pass the savings on to your customers. The least you could do would be to do that, right? And if I did that, then I could say,
I guess from the explanation you're giving, that would make sense to me for you, at least for you to say.
All right.
This is why I'm doing it.
Let's take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Phil. We'll be right back here with Ted Bell.
Yeah, stir-fried Ted.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Beverly Hills, we are taking advantage of the United States Congress lifting the ban on horse meat inspection. We are very serious about our product at Ted's of Beverly Hills, but horse meat is available for human consumption.
And Ted Bell joining us, and what you're saying is that horse meat is not only available for human consumption, it's delicious.
It is absolutely delicious. It is, as I said, Phil, the horse is like the bovine animal, and by that I mean like the steer, the cow, is a herbivore, which means it is not a meat eater. And by the way, meat-eating animals are not necessarily bad-tasting or anything. That's some of this nonsense you've heard. The reason why we do not raise meat-eating animals for our own food is because it costs more to feed an animal like that. Obviously, an animal that is consuming meat is going to require a protein source that is going to be a lot more expensive for the individual who is either involved in that agribusiness or involved in that kind of ranching. So we are, the human race has raised vegetation-eating animals, if you will. Now, the horse meat that I'm talking about is high-quality horse. By that I mean, you're talking about animals that are, at one time, they might have been thoroughbred horses who raced, for instance, in thoroughbred racing, which means they are a very healthy animal. There's very little fat.
And you're telling me that the horse meat that you're dealing in for human consumption, these used to be racehorses?
In some instances, yeah. Not in all instances, in some. A lot of them are going to be eventually farmed. But yes, in some instances, because if you're looking at this objectively, Phil, which I hope you are, and I hope your listeners are, thoroughbred horse races, horses are low in fat, healthy animals, and obviously there's a lot of them that are made available every year by virtue of the fact that they have not lived up to their expectation as racehorses, but they can still use serve a useful purpose. So that's all I want to say about that, because I don't want to get too far into the discussion of that. People tend to get a little, I don't know.
Well, people are going to get really sentimental about horses. People are extremely sentimental about horses to begin with, because they're like a pet. But I had no idea that you're involved in the selling of thoroughbred horses as meat.
I didn't say I'm involved in the sell. It sounds as if you forgive me, but you make it sound like I'm involved in white slaving.
And no, I'm not. No, Ted.
Well, like when you said you're involved in, it sounds as if I'm selling children, and I resent that, Phil.
No, I did not say that, Ted. I did not say that.
Well, it sounds as if you've got me in Bangkok selling children. I said that I am not selling. I don't want to discuss what I'm selling.
All right, I apologize, but anybody that is selling horse meat would be selling or would be involved in selling thoroughbred.
No, again, you're misspeaking. Again, you're misspeaking. Yet again, when you say it sounds like you're involved in, you are making it sound like I am involved in the trafficking of infants for sex. And
no, I am most certainly not, Mr. Bell, and I wish you wouldn't I engage in that kind of overstatement. I am not saying that at all.
Well, that is how I'm hearing it. And there's an awful lot of people that are very sensitive about this. And
well, I can understand them being sensitive, but I have not said anything even remotely close to what you just claim I did. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jamie on the line, I believe. Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Jamie, are you there? She gone?
All right. Hello?
Let's Hello? Go. Who's this? This is not Jamie. All right. Hold on, brother. Hold on for a minute, goofball. Here is Bob. Bob, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How you doing there, Ted? I just have a comment.
Very good. Thank you.
I just have a comment on...
I can't hear this caller. Turn him up, will you? Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Bob.
Okay. Ted, I would just want to comment. Do you have a good restaurant? And you have
I can hear the caller. Go on.
I was saying, if you have a good restaurant, can you hear me, Ted?
I can hear you, yeah. Mr. Henry
okay.
was having a hard time hearing you, but I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I was well, having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in Pennsylvania. What I'm saying is, if you have a good restaurant and a good quality menu, don't worry about selling a horse. You sell your steaks. You don't need to advertise your selling horse. When they come in, offer it to them as an alternative. Maybe have it a little cheaper and let them have a choice, knowing what they're eating if they don't want the horse.
Okay, you know what? I got to get rid of the call because I don't know what the problem is. I can't hear the caller. And unless you guys can jack the level on these phone calls, let's go to Gary. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, once again, thank you for taking my call. I am a
butcher
in New York City. And it's to me, it's pretty direct that people will not consume an animal that you can have an emotional relationship with in that particular scent, that you can have a bond with, as the animal can say, for what it is.
Have you ever heard, you've heard of bacon, right? You've heard of bacon?
Yes, but not too many people
hanging
out with pigs.
Really? I beg to differ. The pot-belly pig has become quite a popular pet.
Yeah,
very popular.
Few and far between. Let me say this.
No, not really.
Okay.
But
I know some people.
Well, you made the statement that you cannot consume an animal that you have a personal relationship with, which I think that's bizarre. Who has a personal relationship?
Well, don't take that to an extreme when they say personal relationship.
A guy's gonna get to know the horse he's going to eat?
No, the man is saying we generally don't eat animals that we keep as pets. Isn't that what you're saying, sir?
Exactly. Thank you.
All right.
I didn't want to beat that to death. The thing is,
you didn't want to beat a dead horse. You didn't want to beat a dead horse.
Yeah, okay. listen, my point is your idea may fly in a limited capacity on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. The idea would not be accepted in any way, shape, or form. You have a limited amount of people in a certain culture in New York City that have small bodegas, what we call, where they have livestock that they do sell for slaughter, lambs, chickens. But we're not dealing with horses over here. And
you sell lamb.
Yes, we do.
Now,
yes, we do.
That's an animal that you're going to have a friendship with, or whatever you wanted to call it.
I don't see that bonding process having a large following.
A lamb?
Yes, I don't know many.
Have you ever heard of Mary? You've never heard Mary had a little lamb?
That's a fairy. That's a nursery rhyme.
No, we didn't talk. We didn't talk about the whole outfit here. We're talking about Mary.
That was Mary,
Tom,
yeah.
Dick and Harry. Okay.
Well, you guys can make a joke. You guys can make a joke, but the whole premise of the gentleman's comments, it's premised on whether or not I have a friendship with what I'm about to kill and eat.
No, it's not. It's about animals that could be pets.
That's what I meant. And you're telling me lambs are not pets.
I don't know, other than Mary had a little lamb, which is probably something that goes back hundreds of years when maybe kids did have pets as some of the farm animals were their pets. Today we live in an urban society where we don't have those kind of pets.
And once a year, the president pardons two turkeys, okay, if you want to go that route.
There's a joke there, too. But what I'm trying to say is...
My point is, I'm in the business 35 years as a butcher, and I know what the public will be receptive to and what they won't. And there is a limited. They do carry ground buffalo meat, but that's pushing it. They're just, No, and our standards are much too rigorous over here. We'd never cut it.
Well, what do you mean? First of all, the United States Congress is authorized. It's legal. And
I
secondly, if you had the neighborhood lady come in, and I'm sure there's a million of them that come and see you, and she said to you, Gary, give me 2 pounds of horse.
Not going to happen.
And she's not talking about heroin.
Not going to happen. The conversation would never exist.
Oh, God.
Well, what are you going to say to her? My question is, what would you say to her if she said, Gary,
we don't carry the product.
And she says, well, that's the last time I'm walking into this place.
Oh, come on.
I would say next and have a nice day. And wherever she shopped, she would be greeted with the same situation. It's not going to fly in New York City.
In the middle of a recession, if you can blow customers off that easy, hey, my hat's off to you. But,
there are other ways to make the dollar, my friend.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Gary, thank you very much, sir, for your expertise.
Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
John.
All right. Yes, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get back to more of your phone calls here. While you're making jokes, though, Ted, I think you're missing the larger point here.
No. I'm not missing the larger point. What do you mean making jokes? When she said, if I want 2 pounds of horse, and I'm not talking about heroin, I was thinking of the French Connection movie, which, of course, I saw. And, of course, it's a marvelous film with Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider, who passed on recently. Fantastic movie, and I visited some of the...
All right, fine, but what we're talking about horse?
Yeah, but the horse meat question, here's a guy, with all due respect to the gentleman, Gary, I hear a little jealousy. I hear a man saying, oh, I didn't think of that. Nah, it'll never fly. You know how many times Ted Bell has heard that?
Look.
No, seriously, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard, don't do that, it'll never work?
Well, I mean, if you've heard...
No, I'm saying... Yes, me, but what I'm really saying, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard that? Let's forget about me for a minute, and let's talk about me as the Ted Bell most people know, and that is the provider of a great, well, just Ted Bell. Let's just talk about Ted Bell in the third person. How many times has Ted Bell heard, you better not do that, it's not done, nobody will go for it? How many times do you think Ted Bell's heard that?
Ted, I don't know how many times you've heard or...
I didn't say me.
You're talking about you, though, aren't you?
Would you please go with me? I'm saying how many times has...
How many times has Ted Bell heard it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Many, many times Ted Bell's heard that. And Ted Bell laughs in the face of that. When someone says to Ted Bell, you can't thus and so, Ted Bell goes, ha, ha, ha. That's what he does. If someone says to Ted Bell, like... Ted Bell's wife, Marcy, who said to him, if I see you come home and I smell that perfume on you again, I'm taking Joshua and I'm going to our place in the desert. And Ted Bell said, ha, 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 no, you're not. That's what he said.
Okay, Ted, I am talking to Ted Bell, aren't I?
No, but Phil, I'm trying to make a point.
No, you're making a ridiculous point. I got a third person. I understand that you are a Bull Brummel. I understand you're a trendsetter. I understand that you're out in front. I get it. Congratulations. The question is, and the question remains, are people going to go for it? Are people going to eat horse meat? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll get a little bit more into this article, guys, from Time Magazine. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We've got live streaming video of our show right now, as a matter of fact, so you can join us over there at philhendryshow.com. We have Ted Bell on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Just want to take a brief moment here to, familiarize you with our website, which is where you go and get our live streaming video. You can get podcasts of our show every day as a download the next day. You can download entire shows going all the way back to 1999 and some shows from before then. We have a news feed. We have our souvenir shop, which you can go into, and I would suggest you go into for any Phil fan in the house if you are one yourself, then go in and buy yourself something. We have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. So let me talk with Ted about those in just a second here, as well as the sale of horse meat that may be going on at his restaurant.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted, what about those new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies?
These are Hanes hoodies. They come in the large, extra large, a double extra large. It has the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the front. And it has, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Right there, it has that slogan right on the back, too. So the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is available there at the Phil Hendry Show website. We want everybody to get their Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie and show people that you're not going to stand for, the maligning of our business, because we have decided that we're going to take the United States Congress up on their offer in a very difficult time, and we are going to offer people the option of purchasing this kind of horse steak or horse, a horse sandwich or whatever you want to call it, and this is an option. And again, we save on the overhead goes down. The amount that we're charged at the wholesaler goes down. And I want my audience to know that we're not paying as much. And
yeah, but that one lady said made a very good point. Why should they care?
Why should who care?
Why should the customer care if you're not passing the savings on to them?
I think the customer is going to appreciate the fact that they are eating in a man's restaurant who has an eye at the bottom line, who's got an eye on quality and on value. All right? So, no, I'm not passing the savings on to them, because if I did, then they'd think that they were eating, some kind of a substandard meat. And that's not the case. Not at Ted's. No way. Not at my place. Maybe I don't want to mention any names, but I think you know the places I'm talking about. No way. Maybe they pull that. I don't. Not at Ted's. No way.
All right. I don't really know.
I've said I don't serve. I'm not serving snake meat. I'm not serving puppy dog. Do you want me to get into detail here?
No, okay, I understand. I just, I don't think anybody's going there. Not to that extreme. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me get to some phone callers here that we've had on the line here. Now, Bob, you called back. You got a better line. So, Bob, go ahead and make your point very quickly for us. Go ahead.
All right. Again, Ted... if you're serving,
well, is this the gentleman from Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, this is him.
It is. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
What I'd like to say is, up here in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure in California as well, you can go to a restaurant and you can find various restaurants, venison on your menu, rabbit on your menu, buffalo, and
absolutely.
And they let you know you're eating venison. They let you know, but you can still get a good quality T-bone or New York strip or what have you, filet. There's nothing wrong with serving any. I don't care if you're serving a dog. I mean, people want to eat it, they'll eat it. If they don't want to eat it, they won't eat it. It's their choice. But as far as you charging for something that that you're not paying for, it's ridiculous. You're still going to make your money if your restaurant is a good restaurant.
Yeah, well, we have a great restaurant, but I can't right now, not in this climate, not with the tenor of the times being what they are, I can't say, here is horse, because I'm going to have all of these people. Well, here, I'll tell you why. I'm going to have all of these people, like that one lady that called up, oh, we own horses and we go riding on Sundays. All of these people that love to beat the hell out of their horses, but they think they're animal lovers, you see? So
absolutely.
I can't deal with that. I would rather just go out and have people eat horse and not tell them they're eating it.
Well,
how long have you been in business, sir?
Well, my father started the restaurant in 1976. I took it over in 1983. That's when, that's when we really got into business.
So you're very well established, so you shouldn't have to worry about
absolutely.
People coming in and not. You should not lose any customers.
We're in Beverly Hills. We got a lot of liberals, and a lot of these people will say,
I understand what you're saying.
Right. A lot of the elderly, we have a lot of the elderly entertainment people come in. They're very old. And if I tell them I got a horse on the menu, they're not very open-minded. And they're Jewish. And I don't know if there's a religious prohibition.
Against what? Against horse?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kosher or not.
Is it kosher? Yeah, I don't know if horse is kosher. Is kosher.
So you're going to serve, suppose somebody eats a kosher meal and you're going to serve them horse?
Well, what do I look like a rabbi? What I'm trying to do is...
You're not going to serve them a kosher meal.
Why don't you serve them...
Is there something wrong with your throat, sir? You sound like... Are you okay?
Yeah,
I mean that because you...
This is how you sound like that.
Oh, okay.
Look, Bob, I'm going to let you go. Very good points, Bob. I want to discuss these with Ted. 877-876-PHIL.
You're not going to discuss anything. You're going to move on to another call, aren't you?
No, I'm going to discuss with you when we have some time this idea of serving a non-kosher meat to people that are maybe keeping kosher. I don't know. Here's David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I drive a truck for a living. I've gone from state to state. And matter of fact, coming out of Louisiana... They serve alligator on their menu and call it alligator. But what you're trying to say is you're not going to advertise that you serve horse meat because you're afraid that your customer base is not intellectually inclined to understand that it's horse meat. I don't want you serving me up a pile of crap and calling it a steak.
It's not crap. It's horse. That's the only difference.
I'm aware.
What if it tastes good? What if it tastes good? Are you
going
to say
still? Are you
going to
serve
crap? No, I'm serving your horse.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're just having some fun, Ted.
He's always
on a steady. Because we are talking here on the program. Hold on for a second. We're talking about, we're talking about the fact that horse is now legal.
Hey, can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to do it while you're playing this song here.
That's great. It's the Mr. Ed theme.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Well, listen to this.
I am Mr. Ed.
Well, okay, there's two things that I wanted to say.
Kill the music, bud. I'm sorry, Ted. Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to say. Number one, I'm buying time on your radio show to advertise my product, and I think that it bespeaks a terrible, terrible choice on your part to play that music, which is a mockery of a very serious product. If I say we're selling horse, and I'm not saying that we're selling horse, I'm trying to avoid causing a problem. And...
I thought it was funny.
Well, no, it isn't funny. It's not funny when I'm saying that we are going to take advantage. I'm sorry. It's not funny when I say we're going to take advantage of a congressional ban that's been lifted, and you play a song like that. I got to tell you, I'm very angry.
I apologize.
Well, I'm angry for a couple of reasons. I'm angry because you've just harmed, you just damaged my business. And I'm angry because you think it's funny. And not only that, I remember that television show, the Mr. Ed show. I think a lot of us do. I remember it fondly. I remember the theme music to that television show. I don't know what that song was that you played. It sounded terrible. It doesn't sound like the original. And the man at the end that was the voice of Mr. Ed was horrible. This is the way he sounded. I don't know. He sounded like that gentleman from Pennsylvania. So what I'm saying is this. I think it takes a lot of moxie and chutzpah to mock my business when I'm paying you, an amount. I'm paying you a lot of money. Okay? I'm paying you a lot of money to advertise on your program.
Well, I apologize. I thought it was a funny thing.
And I haven't heard the commercial that we spend a lot of money to advertise, to use to, in advertising. I haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my Okay, I'm going to hang this phone up.
I'm sorry, Ted. We had two audio sources. Here is the commercial.
I hope you go to hell. I do. I hope when you die, you go to hell. Steakhouse, come on. God. What do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say? Okay, never mind. Ted, you know, I can't do the show without you. I'm apologizing I'm very, very apologetic to do that. I did not mean to mock your business. All right?
Well, you did, and you damaged my business and by playing the Mr. Ed theme. But in other words, what you're saying is what people are going to be eating in my restaurant, children are going to be eating a good product, a healthy product. But you want children that are listening to your program tonight to think that they're going to eat Mr. Ed. That's what you want.
No, I don't. And I dare say I don't expect children to be listening to this show.
But that's the message. The message is, isn't it funny? Let's take a family situation, a family. Why don't you just say that I want you to eat my favorite Martian? Why don't you have the Martian theme and say that people can eat a Martian. They can come into my restaurant and eat Ray Walston or whoever the gentleman was. Is that what you want? And I know you're laughing.
It's very difficult not to be amused slightly at how far out you're taking this. I apologize.
I pay advertising on your program. Do I not pay for advertising on your program? Turn that down. Do I not?
Yes, sir, you do.
Then why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme? Why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme?
I wasn't intending to mock you. I was mocking the topic.
And the topic is something that I sell in my restaurant that I'm trying to promote on your show.
That is true.
And you're making a joke out of it.
That, I suppose, is true. That was a bad choice.
You know something, of all the idiots that I could have been advertising on, you know, you guys in talk radio, and I don't mean any offense, Phil, but of all of the imbeciles, every talk show that I listen to, you guys are all a bunch of idiots as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's 5 ounces worth of brains between you, Hannity, any of them. I think you're all idiots. And the fact that the reason why I chose your show is because they told me that you were a little bit more personable and you were a little bit better broadcaster and all of this stuff. Well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, you're no brighter than the dumbest guy I've ever heard. But the dumbest guy I've ever heard on the radio is Rick Dees. I don't think you even have his brains. You listening to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
I don't think you're even as smart as that the guy that they had on, that they fired. What's the guy's name? Howard Stern? I don't even think you're as smart as him.
They didn't fire Howard Stern.
Well, whatever they did with him, they got him off my radio. I don't even think you're as smart as him. I think all you guys... So I come on your show, I want to advertise on your show, and what do I get for my trouble? What do I get for my money? You're going to mock my product?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
The fact that you're selling horse meat is controversial. Would you agree with that?
No, I will not agree with that. What I'm selling is a good product. Since when is a good product controversial?
All right, but let's just say this. It is a news topic, at least, and there may be some difference of opinion. And we have seen that there's some difference of opinion. You've had professionals call. You've had consumers call. You had a truck driver call, people that will eat steak, people that probably eat a lot of steak, saying that they want to know what they're eating, and you don't want to tell people what it is.
I've been trying to tell you for the last hour and 15 minutes that I'm not going to mention the word horse. that I will mention the word horse insofar as we're talking about the law. But when it comes to what I sell in my restaurant, I'm not going to say to people, and by the way, do you want a horse steak? Because I might as well say to them, by the way, would you like a dog steak? Do you want puppy stew? And I told you that when you said that to me, you might as well be telling the audience out there, by the way, we'll be back with Jerry Sandusky in just a moment.
No.
What are you laughing at?
I think that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous when you take into consideration what people think of this topic.
That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to call you Jerry Sandusky, you know.
Well, you know, I got people out there saying I'm selling horse meat, and I'm lying to them, and you playing that Mr. Ed theme. I don't want to hear that again. You understand me?
I won't play it again.
You understand me, though?
Yeah, I will not play it again. I apologize, but let's keep talking about this, okay?
We can keep talking about it, but I'm not going to say what you want me to say, which is, oh, hey, Ted, tell us about the horse steak. I'm not going there.
Well, but we can talk about the product.
Talk about the product in a general way. But I do not want to say I'm selling horse, because you know what that sounds like. I just told you what it sounds like. It sounds like I want to go and get a shower after the workout, and, oh, yeah, it's only 11:30 at night, and go ahead and slide along the floor there in your underwear. Like I'm saying that to you when you're six.
How did you, can I ask a question?
No, look, Phil.
How did you get to child molesting from selling horse steak?
Because that's what you guys do. That's what you guys do. You take a man's business, and you will defame a man if it gets you a couple of ratings points.
I'm not doing anything of the sort, and I categorically reject that. I haven't done anything of the sort.
Phil, you're talking about me selling horse steak like I decided. Oh, do you want to go work out? I know it's your 10th birthday, but let's go work out. And by the way, take your underwear off and slide along the slimy floor of that shower. And
you know what? Your mind, you got a one-track mind, my friend. And
what is that supposed to mean?
It means it's very interesting how you take this topic of horse meat and turn it into child molestation. I haven't said anything of the sort about your business. I would never say anything like that. We have a disagreement, of course. I'm not trying to defame or malign you. You've come on my program. You, Ted, we're talking about the law. So we're going to talk about the law. 877-876-PHIL. We've got people hanging on. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking. The article that I'm referring to is in Time Magazine from today, the 30th of November. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have got a delicious prime rib on Sunday. And yes, we have the Ted special, the 8-ounce or 12-ounce. I guarantee it's the best steak you're ever going to have in your life. And by the way, that slogan there, Phil, that's on the back of the hoodies.
That's right. Get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie at the Phil Hendry shop at philhendryshow.com. It's a great Christmas gift, Ted.
I would think it's a great Christmas gift for people that are fans of Ted's of Beverly Hills, people that are fans of the Phil Hendry Show. It's in our Ted's of Beverly Hills official colors, our blue, black, and white. It is a black hoodie, and you got it in extra large, Phil. What are the sizes?
We got large, extra large, and double extra large. And we also, of course, on the back, as you say, in white, is the Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And
so you can wear that proudly wherever you go, and just walk in front of somebody with that on the back of your hoodie, and I'm sure they're going to just be very impressed. Now then, well, you told me that's where you thought it ought to go.
I think, yes, I think your advertising slogan would be best on the back. Anyway, Ted is with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the possibility that horse meat the ban on the sale of horse meat for consumption in the United States may be lifted. And it's very interesting, Ted, because we have a lot of different issues at stake here. We have, for some people, it may be a nutrition or a health issue.
Well, it's not a nutrition or a health issue, and I wish you wouldn't say that. It's healthy, it's lean. These are horses that ran in some of the most prestigious stakes races in the country. And, you know, so how can that not be a healthy cut of meat if you've got an animal that was one of the top thoroughbreds?
You know what? There's something ghoulish about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm a horse racing fan and a fan of great horses, and you're selling these animals. I thought you said they didn't win.
Well, they weren't winners, but they were in the Derby. They were in the Cap, the Sanity, the Big Cap, Sanity, the Handicap, and so forth. Not all of them, but some of them.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's get to some phone calls we have hanging on here. Greg, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Phil. I'm a little angry about the kosher thing. I think, you know, the horse meat's one thing, but to not tell people that it's kosher or not kosher, you don't know what you're doing to those people's psyche when you do that.
Well,
you know how to make a kosher decision.
You
got to keep.
What do you want from me? Are you trying to tell me that horse meat is not kosher? It's got to be kosher.
No, because beef is not kosher if you cut it off the wrong end. You got to cut the meat on the right end. And you got to make sure you don't get any entrails or anything on the meat. And then a rabbi comes and says, you're doing it, and then it's okay. And you need to be doing that.
I just want to be clear. You want me to drag a rabbi in there at all hours of the night to make sure that I'm cutting up.
Well, you're not slaughtering the horse yourself, are you?
No, but this guy's telling me that I can't serve horse unless I got a rabbi in the kitchen. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm telling you, you got to cut very carefully around the ass end, and that's the truth. Look it up on the internet, and you can't get those entrails on it, and it should be certified by a rabbi. You can do it the day before. You don't have to do it right there as you're slapping it on the grill.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'm not going to sit there playing with a horse's ass. What is that about? You know,
you're talking about the proper way of slaughtering it, right, Greg?
Correct. And if he's going to have them slaughtered, he has to have them certified by a rabbi.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if I say that I did?
If you said you did, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who goes to hell, the guy eating it or you.
Wait a second. Oh, I see. So I'm going to go to hell, huh? The guy eating it? If the guy eating it's not going to rot in hell, I am. And
well, why
Jewish,
does he have to eat kosher meat in the first place?
I don't know. But if I say to the guy, oh, yeah, sure, it's kosher, and he eats it, he's not going to go to hell. I will. Yeah. But I'm not Jewish, so I won't go to hell either.
Look, I don't know. It sounds to me, Ted, like you're mocking Judaism now. And
will you give it a rest?
That's exactly what it sounds like you're doing. You're mocking somebody's religion. You're going to go ahead and sell something to a guy claiming that it's kosher. It may sound silly to you, but people that keep kosher, they're serious about it. If you sell a guy a product that's not kosher and you claim it is, hey, good luck, man.
And Russian old believers, too.
They're going to serve me up for dinner?
Yeah, they may. I hope you're kosher.
You know, you're real funny, and again, I want to remind you, I'm on your show advertising on your show.
Well, you know what? You're not going to be advertising for much longer if you're telling Jewish folks, come on into my restaurant. Yeah, horse is kosher, and I'm going to serve it, and it's not.
Because you didn't prepare it right.
What, are you Jewish, sir?
No, I got a lot in the office, and they tell me what they have to eat, and I make sure that I ask the butcher.
You ask the butcher?
Yeah, there's a butcher. There's a prime rib, Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib. Are you sure this isn't a gag? Is this guy...
No, he's a caller.
No, are you guys... I'm Old Seward and 76.
You're joking, aren't you?
No, look it up. Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib, huh? And what, is Mr. Prime Rib kosher? Or is he a rabbi?
He makes it kosher.
No, what I'm saying is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
What do you mean is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
I got a restaurant in Beverly Hills, California, my man.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more Jew intensive than that.
Okay, right? I've had about enough of that, all right? I don't want to hear that. Either you're keeping a kosher food, you know, either you're serving a kosher meal.
This guy's talking about Mr. Prime Ribs or Rabbi, and you're saying I'm making jokes?
He didn't say Mr. Prime Ribs or Rabbi.
What?
I said there's a Mr. Prime Ribs store, and they know how to prepare it by doing it the correct way so that it's kosher.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they know how to prepare it.
Well, they make sure they cut away and there's no entrails, et cetera. And the same with the old...
Where is this place? Where is this? Where's this Mr. Prime Rib anyway? Where's it located?
In Anchorage.
Are you talking about in Alaska?
Yeah, just up the coast.
They got... Are you trying to tell me they got three Jewish people in Alaska?
No, they don't. You know something, Ted? Thank you very much. It's Greg, right? Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on. I think that, Ted, you know, you're right, too. You have Jewish customers. You ought to know better. So quit making the jokes, okay?
I'm making a couple of laughs, but I'm telling you right now, you know, you don't have to worry about the horse not being kosher at my place. This guy's in Anchorage, Alaska. He's trying to tell me, Mr. Prime Rib. Yeah, uh-huh. I bet you that's not all he's called.
Were you making a joke about him being a rabbi?
No, this guy led me to believe that they had a rabbi in Alaska named Mr. Prime Rib.
No, he did not. He said it's a restaurant. Let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. See, that's the other thing. If you're going to serve horse, and you are serving horse in a restaurant, obviously, and you have Jewish customers, and they are keeping kosher, you have to be able to assure them that that is a kosher meal. Although I don't really know if someone is strict kosher, if is on a strict kosher diet, if they're going to a steakhouse, or maybe. 877-876-PHIL is horse, and Ted Bell is going to be selling horse meat in his restaurant. Do you want to know that's what you're eating? If it's a good steak, does it matter to you whether it came from a steer or a horse? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You got to come to Ted's. You must come to Ted's and have a steak. Have one of our Ted's specials.
Here at Ted's.
Let's not talk about where it's from. Let's talk about where it's going into your stomach. And have a drink in our prime rib room, Phil. We got a great weekend of football coming up. I love this time of year.
I do, too. It's playoff time. It's right around the corner.
Playoff time is around the corner. I love this time of year with the bowl games. And SC is playing, I think SC is playing Oregon. So if you're in town, if you're in Southern California, wherever you are, you got to pay a visit to California. Come on to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And we do have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies available in our shop.
I want to make a point. You were talking during the break, Phil.
Go ahead.
You were talking about the religious sects and the religious cults in the early part of the 19th century here in America. You were referring to the Great Awakening.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. I don't know what you're talking about. I think a lot of what you talk about is very obtuse and very esoteric, and it goes over the heads of a lot of people. And I don't know whether you're trying to make a point about the kosher horse or whatever, but what I'd like you to do is when you're talking about stuff, even off the air, I want it to be something that I understand. And
I was talking about the Great Awakening as a period in American history. During the period of the Jackson and even before the Jackson presidency, where there was a number of religious sects and religious groups, there's quite a few in America, and we had more cults at that time, in fact, than we probably have now.
No, I understand what that was about, but were you talking about the Great Awakening, saying that somebody ought to have a Great Awakening, you know, like because of what I'm eating or what I'm serving, like we need a Great Awakening about that? Or wake up or something like that?
What do you mean, wake up?
Wake, wake up Ted selling horse? Is that what you're trying to...
No, I'm not trying to say anything like that. I was discussing with the guys something completely unrelated.
Well, you have had a number of opinions about what we're selling, and that's why I've said I don't want to even mention the word. And
well, you said that much of the product you're selling, this particular meat, some of it comes from thoroughbreds that ran in some of the biggest races in the country. And I don't know that that is actually, I don't think that that's a very positive endorsement, because you're saying, on the one hand, it's a delicious meat, and it's lean, and it's healthy. And on the other hand, you are invoking, in my mind, images of a sport that I happen to like very much, thoroughbred racing. Okay?
Yeah. So what I don't understand.
I just don't like the idea that those beautiful creatures that run around the track, I'm going to have on a plate in front of me.
See, right there. I told you not to do that, and you do it. And
well, you brought up the thoroughbred racing aspect.
I did, yes.
Okay, when I think of thoroughbred horse racing, I think of horses that I've liked. I think of...
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking of Foolish Pleasure.
I'm not asking you to come into my restaurant and have and eat Foolish Pleasure for dinner. What kind of a jackass place? Can you imagine that? Yeah, come on in, folks, and get yourself some Foolish Pleasure stew. What is that? You'd have to be some real jackass. In fact, one of the things that I had to deal with, and I dealt with this through my attorney, Bill Larson, and I also dealt with it with Frank Gray, who also represents me, we went to court, and I sued one of the other restaurateurs here on the street, I'm not going to mention his name, because he was letting it out there that Ted Bell is going to be putting jackass on his menu. So in other words, it wasn't even the aforementioned animal that we're talking about. He said that we were selling jackass, as in literally a jackass.
Like a donkey.
Yeah. Burro. Yeah, go to Ted Bell's. He's serving burro steak. Now, I don't know whether that's any good or not. I don't even want to guess.
Well, what if it was good?
Well, don't start backing me into a corner, okay?
So in other words, but if it tastes good, you'd serve burro.
I wouldn't go on your show and say I'm serving burro. I would do something in terms of euphemism in the advertising.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to Amy. Amy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Yes, hi.
This has been an amazing hour. I am a first-time listener and caller.
Thank you.
Phil, I so commend you, Phil, for how you've handled this entire program. Ted, I was...
Appreciate it.
I'm amazed at how defensive Ted is, and how everything that whatever people say, he twists it and is very defensive when we're trying to learn about this, and if he doesn't like it...
Well, I apologize. I apologize. Let me apologize. And I'm willing to hear anything you've got to say. And the young lady's name is what, Phil?
This is Amy.
Amy, I'm sorry I'm sorry if I've come across. But you understand, I've got competitors of mine that are going door to door on my street saying Ted Bell is serving jackass steak.
Well, okay? You know, maybe they mean, and I mean this with no disrespect, but they might be saying, because of your attitude, you sound like a burro. You got angry, and when they tried to make a light joke of playing that Mr. Ed.
I thought that was uncalled for.
Okay. And then 2 minutes later, you were making a Jewish joke because you thought it was a little lighthearted. Now, you know, it's tit for tat there. You know, if you don't want to make jokes about that, then just talk about your business, and you could say, well, I'd rather not listen to that. The anger that is, I just feel like I kept listening to this, and I keep thinking, oh my goodness, when he hears this tomorrow, he's really,
I've been in business for a long time. What Jewish jokes did I make, by the way? I have a lot of Jewish customers. I'd be very interested to know, because I don't think I made any per se jokes. I did say something along the lines, well, okay. I said, you know.
Comments? I mean, I have no intentions of getting into an argument or debate with you. I'm just simply saying
And I don't mean any disrespect, ma'am, but it sounds like you're blowing your nose with the phone.
Okay.
And this is what you did. You went like, That's what it sounded like.
All right, Ted, let me handle that, okay?
I apologize.
That's okay.
If you can stay close to the phone for us, Amy, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it just sounded like she was rubbing her nose with it.
Phil, I appreciate you helping out here. I just wanted to simply say that it's not fair that you're not being honest of what you're selling in your store, and people are trying to tell you that. And then bottom line, if you listen to this tomorrow and hear how twisted your responses were, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. You're going to be really embarrassed.
Wait a second. What twisted? Ma'am, you're talking to me like I'm some kind of a drooling mongoloid. All I said...
Not necessary.
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute.
You know what you sound like? You sound like an angry alcoholic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I happen to be the owner of one of the biggest steakhouses on the West Coast, and you say I sound like an alcoholic.
Well, you ripped into me there in the first part of the hour.
But you know what, Ted? There's the arrogance there. Like, look at me. I have this big business. And whenever somebody says something that you don't understand or you don't want to hear, then you start giving
digs and comments. Do you know what you're doing? But do you know what you're taking on here? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Exactly.
Bell Keller.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And you're laughing at me, and you're laughing at me, and you think you're going to get away with that? How?
Look at Ted.
Hold on, Phil.
You know what? I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing.
I am laughing at the comments that you are making.
You are laughing at Ted Bell. And Ted Bell.
You know what?
And I can tell you this:
when you're talking,
Amy can handle herself.
All right.
With
you know
Ted
what?
Bell.
Hey, okay, guess what?
Hey, Phil.
You're never, ever coming into my restaurant. Never.
Sweetie, I have no intention of coming to your restaurant. Phil, thank you very much.
You'll never get in. I'll never let you in. I'll never let you in. And if I know you're in the restaurant, I'll have you bodily removed.
Oh boy. How did we get to this point? This is ridiculous, okay?
So all the Amy's you're going to remove from your restaurant. Hey, Phil,
I'll know it's you. No, I'll know Phil. It's you from the snide, from the attitude. But I will tell you this, Amy.
Hey, Phil.
I don't serve jackass steak. I serve the other kind.
Horse.
And I told you not to say that.
Horse. Why? That's what you're telling. If you're gonna.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are you gonna hang up on her? Are you gonna hang up on her, or do I have to drive to her house and rip her phone out of the wall?
Wow. Hey, Phil.
Don't give me that. Wow. You were the one that called me a jackass. You're the one that started this.
Okay, look at Amy, thank you.
Where's she calling from?
I'm not telling you.
I demand to know where you're calling from.
Don't tell him where you're calling. Amy, thank you very much. Good call. 877-876-PHIL. Good night.
So you refused to tell me where she was calling from. Excuse me.
Have you been drinking?
You know, Phil, I'm not going to make that the issue here, okay?
Have you been drinking?
I've had a couple of drinks, yeah. Am I not allowed? I work my ass off.
When you come on my show and you're going to be answering questions...
I had a couple of pops, okay? It's been a very tough week. God! I pulled down a bottle of Knob Creek, and you want to know something? I poured myself more than one. That's right. I had a couple. And I'll tell you something else. 12-year-old stuff. You want to hear more?
No, I don't want to hear more. If you want to have a couple of pops... And you got off work, that's fine. Don't belch into the phone to let the whole world know it, if you don't mind.
I apologize. I didn't know that was coming out.
And the lady's right. I don't think you're an alcoholic, but you sound like you're raging drunk in that very first segment in the hour.
Well, you might as well tell people I'm an alcoholic. You just... Oh! Oh!
All right, let's take a break here before I... 877-876-PHIL.
Remember, you hang up?
Don't hang up on him. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
How'd you like that?
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted to Beverly Hills, and this weekend we are going to roll out our Ted special 12 and 8 ounce steaks. Absolutely delicious with the Ted barbecue sauce. And get a Ted with that. That, of course, is our rum and coke. And we got some football this weekend, Phil, and we have the college games on Saturday. And I have, to answer your question, the Dunphy brothers who were in that weekend. You remember the Stanford game?
Well, I know that you lost some money to them.
I did. They're coming in this weekend, and they have promised me a rematch, if you will. They're taking Oregon, and I lost a pile of money to them on the UCLA game.
And you didn't take UCLA, did you?
Well, yes, I did, because I graduated from there. Wow. Of course I did.
I didn't know. I apologize.
Well, no, I told you I graduated from UCLA.
You did, and I forgot, and it would be natural, but... Did you get points?
I don't do that. Look, I bet on my alma mater. It was a disgrace. It was humiliating. That's two times now the Dunphys have been in on a Saturday night and have taken every bit of actual folding and spending money I've got. I find that amazing because I never go out of the house with less say than $1,000 in cash. I always keep cash on me, and I keep a good amount of cash on me. And every single time I've bet those two guys, that's been three times this year, they have cleaned me out of everything I've had on me. Because that's what I bet. I
generally bet what you're carrying.
Yeah. It's just about a $1,000 bet.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, I mean, unless you got that UCLA-SC game and you didn't get any points.
What are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me...
I'm trying to tell you that SC was a heavy favorite in the game.
I don't care. It's the USC-UCLA game. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes, I know what that is. It's a big crosstown game, and I get it. But SC's a heavily favored team. They're on a roll.
That game, you throw all the stats out. Boy, I thought you knew something about football. That's too bad. I really thought you knew something about football. Apparently you don't.
No, I know about football. You're telling me you throw the stats out in a game like that? Yes, you're right, you do. But I did not know. All right.
You're full of a lot of opinions tonight, Phil, and unfortunately, all of them are pissing me off.
Sorry. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to another caller here. We have Ian. Ian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How's it going, Phil? Thanks for having me on.
Good, thank you. Good.
I'm actually just curious, Ted, as far as you said that you were coming onto the program to kind of promote the fact that, you know, Congress has allowed, you know, is potentially going to allow horse meat to be sold, and, you know, you seem to be selling that product. You don't really seem to be behind it. I don't know why you're so defensive about what people think about the product and why you're not going to share with your consumers what you're selling. It seems that you should be standing behind the product and voicing strongly that you believe in the product. Otherwise,
I do. 100%.
You're contributing to the negative pool with all this fear, and like you don't want to call it force. You're contributing to the negative kind of energy that it seems to have right now.
Well, I'll tell you. Your name's Ian. Ian.
Yes.
I believe in business. I believe in consumer confidence. I don't know that I relate necessarily to the term negative energy. I don't really know what you mean by that. But let's just say that that I do support my product at 150%. We are excited this weekend. We're going to have on our menu our Ted special, which is the 12-ounce or 8-ounce. So I don't know what you mean that I'm not supporting it.
Well, he means by the fact that you don't want to mention the word horse.
Boy, you guys,
repeatedly,
you will. You guys will do anything you can. You'll do anything you can to stick that word in there, won't you?
The product. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about horse meat, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. In Japan, they serve basashi, which is basically just raw thinly sliced horse, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with the product.
Can I tell you something? Because I've been in the restaurant business a long time. Anytime you mention Japan and food, Westerners, They don't like it. And I'll tell you why. Even though we do eat sushi, when you say Japan and food, most Westerners are thinking of octopus and a lot of slop that they don't want to go near. So please
yeah,
don't
octopus is called
Japan.
Taco. I'm familiar.
Yeah, well, that's fine, and you may like it. But most Americans, when you say Japan and you say, oh, you know, food, most people think of slop, unedible slop.
Well, I don't.
I would disagree with that. I think of sushi. I've worked for many sushi bar chains in this country. I'm a bar manager, and I've opened many restaurants with many other businessmen, and I don't understand that concept. You seem very guarded about your opinion of what people think.
Most people, because I'm a restaurateur myself, most people, when they think of Japan and food, they think of really weird seafood that you got to eat raw, and it's just vile. So nothing you can keep down. Nothing a white man can keep down.
And what market pool are you sourcing this from? God.
What are you talking about, Phil?
What do you mean nothing a white man could keep down?
I mean a Westerner, okay?
Well, you know there's all kinds of colors of people.
All kinds of colored people? Wow. Did you hear what he just said?
I said there's all kinds of colored people here.
Colored people.
You know, Ted, we can do this dance all you want, but the point that this gentleman is making is he disagrees with you. He's in the restaurant business. He's a bar manager. He's worked in Japanese restaurants. He's served to Westerners, and he finds many people like that food.
Well, maybe it's a steakhouse thing. I mean, a lot of the people come into steakhouses, they like Western food. They like American steak. And when you say to them, oh, hey, there's a Japanese place, it doesn't register. All they're thinking about is poison. They think they're going to eat something that's going to poison them.
Where is this market pool from? I would like to know where this information comes from.
I just told you. There's steakhouse people. Now, so I'm going to sell them a steak. You want me to come up to the guy and say, hi, welcome to Ted's where we serve horse. That's what you want me to do? I don't think so.
I think it's very fair to your customers to tell them what you're serving. And if you want to take a French term for horse, if you want to take a term from another country, if you just don't want to call it that and call it by its other name, then that'd be fine. But
I don't understand something. I don't understand this. First of all, you're telling me what the Japanese think. Now you're bringing in the French. You know, we're in America, right? You check that out?
Absolutely. And what is America outside of a melting pot?
A place where you eat steak?
Absolutely. And guess what? You want to serve horse, and that's fine. But you need to tell people that you're serving them horse.
Would you tell your callers not to say that?
No, I'm not going to tell my callers that. No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, and I'm telling this
Phil's
guy,
been pretty gracious,
horse.
And you've been pretty rude during this program, so...
No, sir, I have not. All I'm trying to do is... I'm trying to tell the guy, don't say horse, and you come on and you keep saying it.
Well, now you're saying it.
God!
That's the whole point of the conversation, is about horse, isn't it?
Would you stop with the horse?
Phil Hendry.
To the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere, even places other talk shows well wish they could, but they can't. We're here tonight with you, and we're certainly online as well at philhendryshow.com. You know how to use the old internet. It's no big thing. Just go over there and go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show right now. Which is on the old video cast. We do Phil TV. It's an HD picture, high-definition picture, and I think you're going to love it. and like that. And we've got thousands of hours of archived radio shows, have a podcast of our daily radio show that you can listen to tomorrow. We also have the first hour of the show free. It streams free the next day, every day as well. And coming up, we will have another, we're starting another podcast in a couple weeks that we will tell you more about. Okay. Robert Greene is with us tonight, and I think, Bob, you're probably not working. I think you are having a late dinner.
As a matter of fact, I am, Phil. We are right now we're in Newport Beach. This used to be a place called, I don't know if you remember, there was a bar in Newport Beach called Hoagie Bar Michaels. Did you ever hear that?
I think I heard it was a dance place.
It was, and a friend of mine bought it, and it's turned into a steakhouse. It's very good.
What's the name of it?
It's called Rancho's. Rancho's, and it's on Pacific Coast Highway. So we're having a little bit of dinner here tonight.
And you had about 2-3 weeks in the Middle East.
That is correct.
And you got up to, into Europe.
We were in the we were in Egypt. We visited Israel. We visited Egypt. We were in Morocco. We were in Saudi Arabia very briefly because I have a former business partner of mine is working there now. And then we were in Spain, and we were in Italy, and we wound up in France and Paris, and then we came home yesterday.
Boy, that's a trip, huh?
It was. We packed a lot in there, but I can tell you that we learned a lot. I was grateful for the experience because I think I think it's an old saying, but it's very true. The old thing they used to say that travel will broaden you, and it does. It teaches you.
Well, you see how the rest of the world's doing, you know?
If nothing else, you're looking at how other people live. For me, and maybe it's true of a lot of people, I gain a new appreciation for my own country, United States, America. And it's great to come home, but we saw a lot of interesting things. We've met a lot of nice people, really friendly people. And
how'd you like Paris?
I like Paris a lot. I know you you came back with mixed feelings.
It's the kind of a city that's going to give you mixed feelings, you know. But you got along well, huh?
I do, and I got along pretty well. It's probably because Barbara, the lady that I'm seeing, speaks a little bit of French.
Well, that's going to help over there, yeah.
Yeah, we got around, I should say, a little bit easier maybe than the average person, but Egypt was fascinating, and I had an argument with Barbara about this, and in fact, it was more than just an argument. We had a serious disagreement, but I felt very strongly and had even talked to my aunt, who is very, my aunt Evelyn, who's in her 80s, and I asked her what she thought of it because, I guess I need to tell you what it is, right?
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's the law in Egypt. It was on the front page of the paper.
All right, okay, this is a law, and let me tell people, I see what you're talking about, Bob. This is a law that is being opposed by women's groups.
That is correct, yes.
It is a draft Egyptian law. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, that would allow a husband to have sex with the corpse of his wife up to 6 hours after her death. And this is a law that they're considering.
They are, absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with what they call... And maybe I shouldn't say this, but is it Sharia law?
Well, that's what you're taught, that the Muslim, a strict Islamic law.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that is the case here, although it has, it's a obviously an extremely sexist, and that's putting it mildly, law.
Well, here is, here's a viewpoint on this. This is obviously, from our standards, it's barbaric. I know, Phil, that I am like a lot of people. I have a tendency to say what I'm thinking before I think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And, I see something like this, and I want to just tell people how barbaric they are. But I do believe you got to put yourself in people's shoes. There's got to be a reason, and I look at my own life, and I look at... you know, the relationship I have now with Barbara, which is a good one. I was married twice. I've got a couple of kids, and, you know, obviously I have had a difficult time with the female of the species.
Probably no more than most of us.
Well, I hope so, you know. Women, to get along with women, I think you need to give them their life. I think it's the one thing our fathers probably didn't understand, or other generations have been. You have to give a woman her life. You have to give a woman her place in this world. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it does go against, in a lot of ways, the instinct of a man to want to sort of plant his feet on the earth, put his hands on his hips, and say, this belongs to me.
Well, yeah, there's a social history to men and a social history to women that we're having to rewrite those roles a little bit. Men are always going to be men because we know now that this is a biochemical and a...
Well, physiognomy of the brain is different.
Yes, exactly.
And so I look at this law that they want to pass in Egypt that allows you to have sex with the corpse of your wife for 6 hours. And I ask myself, what could people be thinking? In our society, that is considered sick. In our society, but in Egypt, they're considering that. I know the National Organization of Women is opposing it, but those are women that they're either American or they've traveled to America or they're European. They're not Egyptian women. Egyptian women.
There's some Egyptian women involved in this.
Well, like I say, maybe they traveled to Europe or they've been hanging around American women, and that's always going to be, for some societies, a problem, because the minute you let your woman get around an American woman, you're going to have, in the mind of the people, the men that run that country, you're going to have a problem.
The minute you let your woman, so the American women are crap disturbers.
Well, yeah, if you let an Egyptian, if you get one of these Egyptian women that is she's not, you know, she... Where do they come from? They're off a farm or whatever is a farm there, and they talk to an American woman, and now all of a sudden she's, you know, she knows it all too. Now,
well, I mean, that the point, we're talking about a law here that allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours after her death, and you have to ask yourself the question, if we want to be kind and not just say these are a bunch of backward men, what do you say?
Well, I think what you say is that these are men who are reacting to the increasingly powerful role of women, and they're trying to take 6 hours where they're not going to get, I guess if you want to be honest, it's 6 hours that a man can be with his wife and still be, you know, a man.
I don't understand that.
Well, in other words, she's not going to be there telling you what to do and telling you where to put the money and telling you how to spend the money and telling you what to do with the kids. And you see what I'm saying? And the things that gradually sort of shrink a man down to size. Now, with this law that says, you know, you're allowed to have sex with the body of your dead wife for 6 hours up after she dies, correct?
Yeah.
You can at least have 6 hours where you're able to, you know, I'm trying to say this so it doesn't sound bad.
Well, I mean, it's going to sound bad no matter what, you know.
No, I understand that.
I mean, it, you know, no matter what you say, sex with a corpse.
I understand that, but what I'm asking you to do is not to put it that way, because we're trying to see it from the standpoint of the Egyptians, where for 6 precious hours a man can say to the woman, you know, just here, you know, I got something for you to take. I want you to take it. You know, I don't know how to put it.
Well, it sounds, I don't know if that's the best way.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I got something for you to take.
I'm saying it's 6 hours where a man doesn't have to listen to her finding fault. And to that end, you almost understand it. Having sex with a corpse? No, of course not. I don't understand it. But if, I don't know, if this gives the men of Egypt 6 hours where they can have something that American men don't have,
Well, you're talking about, I mean, you know, you're. I don't know that it is so bad, women, you know, expressing themselves, that a man needs to be able to have sex with her corpse just so he's not having...
I don't know what's funny about it. See, what I'm saying is we've got a generation of men who have been emasculated and need to be able to find a way to express their power as men with their women and not have the woman pointing out everything that's wrong.
So you have sex with her corpse?
No, I didn't say that. I said that's what they're doing in Egypt. And from the standpoint of, oh, I understand why they're doing it, you do. You understand.
Okay, we'll take a break with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, just back from an overseas trip he took with his lady friend. And one of the stops was in Egypt, where they are debating a law, if you're ready for this, they're debating a law where it would be legal for a man to have sex with his wife's corpse for up to 6 hours after her death. Bob Green and I are talking about that, and it is his opinion that it is a perverted attempt at giving men a little bit of power that they ordinarily wouldn't have in their marriage because she's dead. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That was my point, essentially.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Well, hold on. We'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green is joining us this evening. Bob is the CEO of Fraser Foods and has been a frequent contributor on our show. Well, we talk about business. We talk about employment issues. But having just returned from a trip to the Middle East, among other places, we were talking about this law that is being currently debated in Egypt that would make it legal for a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife up to 6 hours after her death.
Yeah, and I think what you just said, Phil, is, you know, I think what you said there is during the break, I mean...
Let me tell people what I said.
I think it was a little bit racist.
Let me tell people what I said. I said that the Moors, the Moorish people, that is the Muslim, the medieval Muslim people, when they were defeated by the, if you will, European Christians and forced back over the Pyrenees and back into Spain and eventually back to North Africa, I think it there was something about that experience that warped them or pissed them off or something.
Yeah, see, that's what I find racist.
Why? Hold on for a minute. Don't answer this. Why would you find that racist, you know, if I'm talking about a culture that seriously considers allowing a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for 6 hours?
Well, Phil, I don't think that the law, it hasn't been passed yet.
No, I understand that, but they're debating it.
Well, what is to stop, as crazy as it sounds, what's to stop someone introducing a law like that in the United States?
No one. The point is no one has, Bob. That's the point. The point is that...
You realize that we have just now made necrophilia illegal in some states. It was not even illegal in the state of Florida until 1994.
Well, it's not something that you're automatically going to be thinking about if it isn't a problem. You know, I mean, you're not going to go, hey, by the way, let's pass a law against having sex with a dead person because it might happen. You generally prescribe something when it has happened and you don't want it to happen anymore.
Well, I think that there is a bit of a America chauvinistic point of view there from you. When I say, when you say, well, what's wrong with a society? I mean, something messed up their minds because the Christians beat them. I think that there's a little bit of a, you know, racist.
I don't see the racism there at all. I mean, you can call me, if you want, a chauvinist, all right. You can call me a maybe even a bigot.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, when you say racist, you're talking about a whole other thing.
What I'm saying is it's racist against their lawmaking and that kind of thing.
Well, there's no such thing as racist against their law. Let's just put it that you're saying that I'm sort of down on their culture?
Yeah, well, I think you're looking down on the Egyptians. And let's remember something, that they created the pyramids, they created the Sphinx, they had one of the most ancient civilizations.
I'm not denying any of that.
All right, and if they're considering a law that allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for 6 hours, there's a different way of looking at it. There's the way that you're looking at it, and then there's the way that I'm looking at it, which is the following thing. What is it about that that may be progressive?
What is it about having sex with the corpse of your wife that's progressive?
What is there something there?
No, you use the word progressive?
Wait, hold on. Is there something there that we're missing? Is there something there? And when I thought about it and I talked over with Barbara, we had a big fight.
I can understand.
Well, what do you mean you can understand? She was not right. She was wrong. I proved to her that I was right by the fact that she walked out of the house. Because what happened was this. When we got into this argument, we got into the argument on the plane coming back, because I started talking about it almost as soon as we left Cairo. I said, what if this allows a man the freedom to be a man for 6 precious hours out of his life? And she went into the whole song and dance about how could you, and that's disgusting. And I said, you still haven't answered the question. And I even challenged her to an experiment. I said, is it really going to hurt you if you and I had sex, if you would just lay there like, well, you know.
You're not going to say what I think you're going to say.
Well, you've just made it worse by saying, you're not just going to say what I think. I didn't say anything, did I?
You said, would it make it? Did you ask her to lay there like a corpse while you made love to her?
I said to her, in order to prove your point or my point, why don't you lay there like you're dead? And I'll show you what I mean when I say men can just express themselves. Okay? And she was even willing to do that.
She was?
Yeah. And I said, you're going to lay there like you're dead? And she said, yes. So I said, well, you have to, the body temperature has to be lowered. So I brought ice in. And that's when she got angry and got up and left. And called me all kinds of names. So,
well, look, what you just described to me sounds like it was completely, like, unnecessary and sort of weird.
What is that? You know, when you talk like you're a teenage girl, I lose you, Phil.
And how did I talk like a teenage girl?
It started weird. You know, that's the way my daughter used to roll her eyes, and she, boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing that used to get me more than when my daughter would roll her eyes and go, she'd make that clicking sound with her tongue, and then do the curled lip routine. You know what I mean by that, don't you?
No, I don't.
You've never seen the curled lip routine. When my daughter would go, and then, like that, man, nothing made me want to ball up a fist and just drive it right through her face. I didn't do it. And
you know, Bob, can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever said to you that you may have, like, female issues?
No, Phil, it's not going to be that easy tonight for you, okay?
No, I'm asking, because you talk about your daughter balling up a fist and wanting to drive it right through her skull. You're talking about your girlfriend, you know, laying there like she's dead. You wanted to cool her skin temperature down.
Don't even start with any kind of talk like, because you watch that Investigation Discovery. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that that's what, are you going to say some freak? I said to her, in order to test the Egyptian theory, is that the music again? Because I swear to God.
Hold on, man. God. Robert Greene, the law being proposed in Egypt is you can have sex with the corpse of your wife up for 6 hours after she died. Mr. Green is trying to figure out, well, what about that is a good idea? He tried to get his girlfriend to lay there as if she were dead. It wasn't good enough. He tried to cool her body temperature down with ice, and she got up and left.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods and the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's just returned from a nice vacation, Bob. It sounds like you went a lot of places and did a lot of things. I'm sorry you came back, a little argument there with your girlfriend. But we are talking about this Egyptian law that's being debated. It hasn't been passed yet, and it's getting quite a bit of... To be fair, Egyptian society is a bit mortified by it.
Phil, you say Egyptian society, there's a lot of people that are in support of it. Yes, there are women's groups that are against it, but most of those women's groups are, as I said, heavily influenced by American or European women. And it's fascinating what happens to a country when an American or a European woman inserts herself into the debate. And I'm not saying that's bad, but I would like to see the Egyptian people, I would like to see them work this out among themselves without influence or interference from other culture or other societies, because it is very weird.
This law where you have sex with your wife, what is the justification for this in Egyptian society? I know what your take is.
I think it is rooted in some Islamic law or Islamic belief that there is something acceptable about this sort of carnal relation with your wife, who may be physically dead, but in spirit may still be. There is something about expressing your affection.
But in your scenario, your belief is it may be healthy because it allows a man to be a man.
It allows a man to be a man without having to... I'm putting it in very Western terms, so you have to be very, please forgive me. It allows a man to be a man without having to listen, to it. You know what I mean by it. The noise, the constant... I heard the gentleman you had on before me, Mr. Dozier, he used the term ba-ba, ba-ba, I'm sure he was moving his hands up and down like a mouth. Mr. Hendry, was he doing that?
I don't know. I was on the phone. I don't know.
All right. We don't have to get upset.
I'm not upset. I don't know if he was going ba-ba-ba with the hands. But I know what you're saying, and he might have been.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
So this is your justification. It's almost as if the Egyptian version is more, it's civilized.
What does that mean? Wow. I'm a white man. And
what has that got to do with anything? You're white.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say is I'm an American. I didn't mean to say I'm white.
Okay, well, Bob, the more you talk, you called me racist.
No, I said your attitude was racist, saying... that the Moors got upset because the Christians beat them and they had to go back to their sandbox or something.
I never used the term sandbox. I just said that... I'm telling you, man.
Well, see, you're laughing.
I just the way that you put stuff. I mean, I never said sandbox. I said that the Moors somehow, the defeat at the hands of the French king there at Tours, where I think I've got my history right, maybe I don't, turning back the Moorish army, I think was a historic in that it has reverberated for hundreds of years. And
the defeat of the caliphate, the Ottoman Turkish Empire, probably has more to do with it. Don't you think?
No, well, no. I mean, maybe in the mind of Osama bin Laden, but he's not around anymore. All right, let me get to a phone call here. We're talking to Robert Green from Fraser Foods on this law that says Egyptian men, it's not been passed yet, Egyptian men could have sex with their wives for up to 6 hours after their wife dies. And Bob thinks that that's, it might be good in that it allows a man not to have to listen to a woman talk.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you mean.
All right.
What else do you mean by ba-ba-ba-ba-ba with the mouth? Margaret, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Margaret, how's it going?
Phil, I am listening to your guest here, Mr. Green, who I've heard on the program before. Bob, how are you?
I'm fine.
You know, I find how crude, how vulgar, how absolutely unacceptable... how vile you are, I find it almost admirable. I really do. Well, I don't know what to say to that. Well, here's what you can say to that. You can say, thank you, Mrs. Dre, for at least pointing out how magnificent a freak I am. If you remember, well, ma'am, I'm not going to take an insult like that. You know, do you remember the old Saturday Night Live when Dan Aykroyd used to say to Jane Curtin, Phil, do you remember? Jane, you magnificent slut.
I do remember that, yeah.
I remember. All right. That's the kind of compliment. I'm saying, Bob, you magnificent ass, you magnificent cretin, that you would say the things you've said, ma'am, I am telling you that I just returned from Egypt. Well, that's good for you. You've returned from Egypt. I was in Egypt. Thank you very much.
Well, no, Margaret, you weren't in Egypt. You were, I believe, at a hotel in Rome. Isn't that true?
I was covering the Egyptian riots, Phil. All right. Where, from a hotel in Rome? No, I was in Egypt. I had my laptop. You know, this is way off the point.
Well, you claim to have been in Egypt, and I'm just saying that you weren't really.
You know, I think I remember listening to your reports. You're the woman that does these reports from all these war zones, only you're actually having breakfast at a Ritz-Carlton in Rome, right? You know, both of you men, really.
But please don't include me in this. I've tried to be respectful.
No, but I do include you, Phil. I blame you for having this man on. To have sex with a dead body is...
Margaret, you were on my show not too long ago.
No. Don't even, Margaret, don't tell me. If you're going to bring up Salt Lake City, and, well, ma'am, I don't know what, I think I remember the show where you were talking about your Greek boyfriend. That was a Greek boyfriend who, you know, this is really none of your business, okay? Yeah, but it was very weird. And, no, it was love. It's called love. And
you said that it was very exciting, a man making love to you while he was eating a sandwich. Didn't you say that?
You know, Phil, there was only one Mike Wallace, and you ain't it. Well, ma'am, I did hear you say that. Did you say the man made love to you, and it was only at the last moment you noticed that it was cucumber sauce? Where do you get your you-know-what's big enough? First of all, Mr. Green, I've seen you. You're all 5'6" or whatever. That's true, ma'am, but did you not say that at first you thought it was cucumber sauce?
You did say that, Margaret. You said that you were happy that you weren't going to be pregnant.
Both of you, Ben, are as disgusting. You know, let me get my husband. Oh, here we go. She's getting a husband now, huh?
Well, you know what, Bob? Maybe we ought to just back off of this line of questioning.
Frank Ray here.
Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
Hey, young man, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Frank?
Phil, I'm better than Custer.
I've got Bob Green here, and Margaret got upset with us because we were talking about Egyptians, the Egyptian law that may make it legal for a man to have sex with his dead wife.
Oh, I heard about that. So, in Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. So she can have sex with him for 6 hours. Yeah, I heard about that.
What do you mean about him or her?
Okay, he has gender confusion.
Gender confusion? What have you got me into here, Henry? I have told you and I've told...
All right, hold on for a minute, will you? Go ahead, Frank.
Well, that's all I know about it. I know that after the woman, the wife dies, then the husband can have sex with him for 6 hours. And I think it has something to do with the religion that they practice, some bula bula hooba booba, you know.
Boy, I'll tell you, boy, how you guys get away with that kind of stuff is anybody's guess.
Away with what?
Booba booba and moolah moolah.
You know, we contribute to a lot of very liberal causes. I don't know what to tell you. Who is this midget? And
hey.
All right, hold on. All right. Thank you very much, Frank.
Telling me my business, you little...
Where does that guy get off calling me that? You know, I came on your program, Mr. Henry, to talk about something cultural, all right? And I told you that I would explain it the best way I knew how. Now, I had a young lady who I was dating, and I told you, yes, she wanted to see the store. I took her down to Fraser Foods. Hold on for a minute. She took Barbara's back. I took her to Fraser. Now I got to tell the story in front of Barbara. This is an ex-girlfriend. I'm not seeing her anymore. It's an extra. Oh, God.
Hold on. Margaret, are you there?
I am, Phil. I can't wait to hear this story. I'm going to say this, and I'll let it go at that. First of all, Mr. Green, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, you know, making love to your girlfriend, asking her to lay there really still, and then cooling her down with ice cubes. Barbara's back here. I want to just say this. I had sex with a girl in the meat freezer at the store. Why? Why? Okay, I'll tell you why. Because it had shut her up. See, this is what I mean. I've never heard anything. Barbara's back. Let me talk. Can I talk to Barbara? Barbara, this is Margaret Gray. If you're the girlfriend of this man, I'm not going to let her talk to you. Oh, you're not going to let her talk to me. Are you listening to this?
Okay. If he doesn't want her to talk to you, he's not going to let her talk to you. I think the sides have been all very well articulated here. You know, we do have Debbie Daly, who is standing by. We're going to have her after the break.
Would you please give her my best? I love her. She's a wonderful girl. What was that? Never mind. You know, oh, God. I wanted to just ask, is she... Yes, she's still room temperature. God. I didn't ask that at all. I wanted to know if she's the one that does the morning show on public radio.
Yes, she does. She's going to be here in just a minute. Hang on. Wow. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we discuss with Margaret Gray, Robert Greene, Frank Gray, and Debbie Daly will be coming up in a moment. She hosts Daly's Daily every day on public radio. As we discuss the Egyptian law that would make it legal for a man, it's called the Farewell Intercourse Law, by the way. I just found that out, which I guess could be interpreted as farewell intercourse. That allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours after her death. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You really are a pig, you know that? Thank you.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
Phil, it is the world famous Phil Henry Show here with Margaret Gray and Robert Greene and Debbie Daly will be with us. You wanted to, Margaret, clarify something.
Well, I want to clarify something without a lot of this childish talk because I am very offended. And please, Mr. Greene, allow me to finish. You made mention, both of you, to a man that I met at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. Okay, in 2002.
Yeah.
All right. The cucumber sauce, the green sauce. You said you thought it was cucumber. Can I finish, please?
All right.
When I was in Dublin, and I told you, Phil, I was doing that series of reports on the tech economy of Ireland.
Right.
And that's when I met Kieran. And Kieran, this is, you know, when Frank and I were separated briefly. And Kieran and I made love. All right? And you're a happily married woman, huh? Would you ask this gentleman to shut his mouth, please?
All right, Bob.
He was the one that had been eating the cucumber sandwich. And when I saw the cucumber sauce, I thought, for a moment, and I don't think it's that unusual... My God, he's a leprechaun because I thought it was his, I guess, bodily fluid. Oh, God. What do you mean, oh, God? That makes me want to vomit. But how stupid are you?
Margaret, you got to be kidding.
Oh, will you listen to the two of you? What do you mean you got to be kidding?
You thought he was a leprechaun.
Well, I thought there was... it was green, okay?
It was cucumber sauce. Didn't you know the guy was eating a cucumber sandwich?
First of all, Phil, you don't have to eat a cucumber sandwich. It can be a hero. It can be lamb, a ground lamb. Yes. Do you eat them? No, I don't. And now I'll never eat one as long as I live, because I'll be thinking of your boyfriend and his green cucumber sauce. Good night.
hang up the phone.
Well, then why don't you hang it up, Frank?
Butch.
Wow. All right.
Well, you see, I got to tell you something, Phil. That proves right there what I'm saying. A lot of women just never shut up.
All right. Debbie Daly joining us from Public Radio's Daly's Daily. And she's on the line right now in New York. And, Debbie, it's good to have you on the line with us. We're very, very grateful for you to join us. You've been listening to this discussion about this law that says it would make it legal for a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours in Egypt. What say you? Oh, by the way, I got to explain something, okay? I know you're not fair. I have to explain to people that you are hearing impaired.
Oh, I was wondering what the hell's wrong with her. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hold on. She's hearing impaired, ladies and gentlemen. She is the only hearing impaired individual with a talk show on public radio.
Well, yeah, no wonder. I mean, the only place she'd get hired.
She says, do you want to throw down?
Oh, yeah, sure. Throw down? I don't know.
She says she's getting angry at the things you're saying, talking about a man making love to a corpse. Now, let me just finish here, Debbie. So, Debbie Daly, this is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, and all right, go ahead.
I got to tell you something, and I mean this in all sincerity.
All right, hold on. She said that when she turned on the show to listen to what was being talked about tonight before she came on, she couldn't believe her ears that the two of us are discussing the viability of a law that would allow a man to have sex with a dead body. And she said that then when she heard you talking your girlfriend into cooling down her skin, it reminded her of some serial killers that she's read about. And then she just said, would you please shut up? I haven't finished talking.
Yeah, okay. Wow. I mean, this is the first time I've ever been on an English language show. And, you know, when you go on a show where they speak English, there's a comfort level that you feel. I feel it. I feel, thank God. At least I'm going to be on a show where they're speaking English. They're all speaking English. And I'm in America, and it's English. Because, Phil, I was in countries for the last 3 weeks. You've never seen anything like it. It was every kind of pig Latin, I should say. You know,
you're talking about someone's mother tongue. Pig Latin is not exactly the word to come up with. She said, why should she be surprised the way you're talking?
And what language are you speaking?
You really think you know everything, but you don't know everything.
No, I asked you, what language you speak? Are you speaking dumb? Is that what, dumb?
You don't. They haven't used the word dumb in years. She is hearing impaired.
No, I didn't mean dumb that way. I meant dumb, as in stupid. Are you speaking stupid?
She said, "If you saw me, you'd be petrified."
No doubt.
What an ass.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Oh, I can't say that. She
hung up. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? She came on the show.
Yes, a woman that can't even be understood. I mean, and then another woman that believes she had sex with a leprechaun. I gotta laugh at that, Phil. I'm sorry. Sex with a leprechaun. You know,
I don't know. I heard the story. I thought it was a Greek guy. I don't know. Okay, all I know is that when you begin to justify a law or a proposed law about having sex with a dead body, you're going to get a lot of people calling up with very angry opinions.
Well, you know, I wasn't saying anybody was an idiot. I wasn't calling anybody any names. I was trying to justify it. And I got two women, one of whom I shouldn't say this, but that woman, that Daly, she sounds like she had a lot of you-know-whats in her mouth, and I got to
Thank you very much, Bob. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you cut me?
Phil Hendry.